Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachiyomi as we do every single day. Lilei Nishmas Rabbi Mori Arfilo B'meir Chilmechel Arenin Kabaris Meshkavon, the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Lebracha, learning in the shul this week, graciously sponsored by Bubby and Zadie Strong in honor of the upcoming marriage of Adina and Ariel Schneider. And of course, by the Feit and Waltzman families, commemorating the yahrzeit of Abe Irwin, Avram Chaim Ben Tzvi. We are in Sefer Nachum, and we started Nachum on Shabbos, and we are going to continue with the second parak of Nachum, where Nachum is now talking about the resurrection of Malchus Yehuda. And so he begins, Hinei al ha'harim raglim v'asir mashmia shalom. He says, take a look. The footsteps of the messenger announcing the good tidings are on the mountains. In other words, prophecy is going to exist, says the Radak, that the news of Sancheriv's death would soon be announced throughout Malchus Yehuda. That death implied the end of Malchus Ashur, of the kingdom of Ashur. Chagi Yehuda Chagayach, Shalmi Nidarayach. And so Nachum says, celebrate your feasts and honor your Nidarim, Malchus Yehuda. In other words, during the time period, says Rashi, that Ashur occupied most the land of Israel, most people from Yisrael said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu drives away the enemy, they would bring Nidarim, they would bring all sorts of karbanos. And since Sancheriv's death symbolized the fall of Ashur, Nachum says, go ahead and pay back. Right, kilo Yosef Odlav or Bach Bliel Kulo Nechras. You have to understand, it's not going to come back. The wicked will never invade you again. It's been totally destroyed. The sons would also be destroyed, says Rashi, or they'll flee to Hari Ararat, says the Radak. Whatever it is, it's going to be destroyed. Alshach says this is a discussion of Achris Hayamim. There's a hint here that in the future, that's the way it's going to be. Alami fits al panayach natzur mitzura. You should just understand that the exiler has been removed from your presence, the mefitz. That's, again, a reference to Sancheriv in the Pshat, says Rashi, or maybe the Yetzer Hara, according to the Alshach, who learns this on a different level of interpretation. And so he says, Natsur Mitzura, you have to understand, Tzapei Derech Chazik Masnayim Ametz Koach Ma'od. He turns around, he says, guard the stronghold, ratch the road, gird your loins and muster all your strength. He says the Assyrians were dealing with the fortresses that they captured. Now Am Yisrael can go back to those situations and watch the road. Make sure that no more Assyrian soldiers are coming, says Radak, or see the Babylonian troops watching towards Nineveh. Or the Malbim says, see the report on the destruction and use your strength, that you never have to fear Ashur in that situation. Radak says that this Koach over here, Amitz Koach, is not just a physical power, but a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishav Hashem es Gon Yaakov Kigon Yisrael. Like Nachum says, Hashem has restored the pride of Yaakov to be like the pride of Yisrael. What does he mean by that? He says, the pride of Yaakov is a reference to Shevet Yehuda and the city of Yerushalayim. And for the Jew, according to the Radak, and the Jews in Galus, according to Ibn Ezra, it's now the pride of Israel, which is a term of Am Yisrael's condition prior to their occupation, that Hashem will grant permission to them for the people of Malchus Yisrael to come back. Ki bekakum bokikim uz moreim shichesu. The bokikim, the robbers, emptied them of everything. Ashur robbed all of Am Yisrael from its possessions, and they destroyed the branches, the wealth, the military strength, the beautiful cities, whatever it is, whether you hold like the Metzudos or the Targum. But that's what happened over here. Magin giboreu me'adam anshechayo metulaim be'ish pelados harecha biyom ha'chanicho. You have to understand, his warrior shields are red. What does he mean that Babel's warrior shields are red with the blood of Assyrian soldiers? And the soldiers are clothed in scarlet. The chariots were prepared in torch fire. That they would bring the metal to the gloss by tempering it in fire. And what happens? Vabroshim heralu, and the cypress wood spears were poisoned. That is to say, the high officials themselves were in colored garments, says the Targum. And bechutzos yisololu harechav yishtokukun, the charioteers are driving frantically, Radak says that this refers to the panic that the Assyrian soldiers would experience just before the beginning of the attack of the people of Babel in that regard. And Maria and Kalapidim Kabrakim Yirotsetsu, they're going to drive fanatically, and they're clanging in the street. They look like torches. They streak by lightning. The soldiers become flushed by fear and shame. Yizkor Adira Vikashlu Bahali Chosam, the king's charges, his mighty fighters, but they're stumbling on their way. Yimaru Chomasa Vahuchana Socheach, they race to the wall. The covering is prepared. What does that mean? That the Assyrian king will remember the former glory of his army, and he'll think that they could fight off the invading people from Babel. But of course, what's going to happen? They're going to stumble in that regard. And what's going to happen? Sharia Naharos Niftachu, they're going to turn around and say the bridges are thrown up, open, Vahichal Namog, the palace melts, right? The gates are going to be thrown open by the Babylonian troops, and everything's going to fall down for Ashur. Behutzav gulasa haulasa ba'mosah meganos kecho yonim mefotzos alibaveim. The queen is going to be exposed. In other words, the palace is going to be exposed. The queen of Nineveh never left the royal chambers, and we see that this will all change once the people of Babel captured the city. They'll take the queen out and they'll display her in public, which is a real big embarrassment. The women of Nineveh, except for the prostitutes, always covered their faces before they left their home. Well, here the queen would be displayed in public just like a regular prostitute, and her maidservants would be escorting her. They'll be yelling with dove-like moans, like in mourning, as they beat on themselves in a form of mourning. But Nineveh is going to be like a pool of water that they flee from the enemies. In other words, there was physical appearance, its western side. In other words, Ibn Ezra says it was always understood to be a metaphor for peace and tranquility. And now all of a sudden the people are running away. And so what does he say? Be'imanasim. And they're running away. Ve'imdu amodu. They're screaming, stop, stop. That's what they'll be told by the people of Babel, says the Radak. And the ministers of Nineveh are going to try to get the soldiers to stand tall and proud. But it's not going to happen. Vein mefaneh, no one's going to be turning around. Bozu keset, bozu zahav, they're going to take the silver and take the gold. Vein keitzel l'tchuna, kavod mikol kli chemda, there's no end to the treasure, sweep them clean of all their objects. The Navi tells the people of Babel who are going to conquer Nineveh, that they should go ahead and sweep it clean. And what's going to happen to Nineveh? Buko mevuko mevulaka v'leiv names. She's going to be totally emptied and destroyed. The heart's going to be faint. Upik birkayim, and the knees buckle. And v'chalchala b'chol masnayim, and there's going to be fear that grips every loin, right? And all the faces, what's going to happen? Upnei kulam kipsu parur. And all the faces are going to be filled with gloom. They're going to be similar to the bottom of the pot. They're going to be asking what happened to the lion's den. After all, the people of Nineveh were always seen to be the home of the fierce kings. They plundered everything. What happened to the young lion's pasture where the lion and the lioness and the cub walked around without fear? The kings would leave on military campaigns for long periods in time, and the children would be left in charge with the understanding that that's what they were supposed to be able to do, and nobody started to rebel. Aryeh Toreif, B'dei Gorosav, U'mechanik L'Liviosav, B'Imali Terev Chorov, U'monosav Tarefa. The lion killed for his cubs and strangled for his lioness. He filled his lair with prey and his den with game. In other words, the Assyrian kings and ministers would come back with spoils of war, and they'd give it to their wives and their children, and they brought prosperity to the land. Well, he says, Hinini Elaichnu Mashem Tzvakos, V'v'arti Be'ashon Rechba, U'kfirech Toch Alcheret, V'chvati Meretz Tarpech, V'lo Yishama Od Kalma Malicha. I'm coming to you, Hashem says. I'm going to take care of your chariots, and your young lions are going to be devoured. I'll cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers will never be heard again. This is what's going to happen to the future of Nineveh, and of course, the future of the Assyrian country, and it certainly seems to have repeated itself throughout world history as well. If you turn on the Jewish people, God says, I will turn on you as well. Everyone have a fantastic, amazing day.